Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Memorabe Ram Goldra, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Dal, the third parak, Cheskas Abatim. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, a man grabbed a silver bar from someone, and the case came before Rabbi Ami. One witness testified to the grabbing, and the defendant responded, In Chatfi, Vididi Chatfi. Yes, I grabbed it, but I grabbed it, which is mine. Rabbi Ami wondered how to rule. Had two witnesses testified that he grabbed it, he could not claim it's his and must return it. Here, since there's only one witness, he could have denied his testimony and has a migul to be believed that it's his. Still, he cannot keep it, since if he would deny the aide's testimony, he would have to swear that he did not grab it, which undermines his migul. He cannot swear against the aide because he admitted he did grab it. He cannot swear that the bar belongs to him because that is not the shvu imposed by the witness. Rabbi Abba, who was sitting there, said that the defendant is someone who must swear and cannot. And anyone who's obligated to swear and cannot must pay. The witness's testimony is accepted as fact. Point number two, on the previous daf, the above ruling was used by the sages before Abai to rule on another case, where a machzik attempting to prove his chazaka only produced a single witness testifying that he used the property for 3 years. Since he had to return the property, having failed to bring two witnesses, he should also have to pay for the produce, since a single witness testified that he consumed it, and he admitted that he did, but merely claimed it was his. Abai responded that this case is different. Hasam Sahadi Lurikase. There in Rabbi Abba's case, the witness is coming against the defendant, because if a second witness had corroborated the testimony, he would have to return the naska. Hachal Suyuye Kase. Here, however, the witness is coming to support the machzik by testifying he has a chazaka, because had another witness come with him, we would establish the property in the machzik's possession. Although he cannot keep the property lacking a second witness, this single witness does not obligate him to swear about the produce. And point number three, two people argued over ownership of a boat in no one's possession, in which case Rav Nachman later rules Kol Dalim Gvar, Basin withdraws, and whoever is stronger wins. One litigant asked Basin to seize the boat while he seeks supporting aiding so the other party shouldn't sell it. Rav Huna said, Tafsinan, we seize the boat, and Rav Yudah said, Lo Tafsinan, we do not seize it. The Rashbam explains that this dispute hinges on the next. The litigant failed to find aidim and asked Basin, Afku of a Kol Dalim Gvar, release the boat, and the law will again be whoever stronger wins. Rav Yudah said, Lo Mafkinam, we do not release it because once it is in Basin's possession, they cannot release it into a circumstance where the fraudulent claimant might prevail. Therefore, Rav Yudah said, Basin may not seize it initially because it prevents the true owner from retrieving it through Kol Dalim Gvar. Rav Papa said, Mafkinam, we release it because the original seizure was with the intent to release it afterwards. Rav Huna agrees and therefore holds based and may seize it initially, since the seizure will not harm the true owner. The halacha follows Rav Yehuda on both accounts. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a man grabbed a silver bar from someone, and the case came before Rabbi Ami. One witness testified to the grabbing, and the defendant responded, In chatfi, vididi chatfi. Yes, I grabbed it, but I grabbed it, which is mine. Rabbi Ami wondered how to rule. Had two witnesses testified that he grabbed it, he could not claim it's his and must return it. Here, since there's only one witness, he could have denied his testimony and has a migul to be believed that it's his. Still, he cannot keep it, since if he would deny the aide's testimony, he would have to swear that he did not grab it, which undermines his migul. He cannot swear against the aide because he admitted he did grab it. He cannot swear that the bar belongs to him because that is not the shvu imposed by the witness. Rabbi Abba, who was sitting there, said that the defendant is someone who must swear and cannot. And anyone who's obligated to swear and cannot must pay. The witness's testimony is accepted as fact. Point number two, on the previous daf, the above ruling was used by the sages before Abai to rule on another case, where a machzik attempting to prove his chazaka only produced a single witness testifying that he used the property for 3 years. Since he had to return the property, having failed to bring two witnesses, he should also have to pay for the produce, since a single witness testified that he consumed it, and he admitted that he did, but merely claimed it was his. Abai responded that this case is different. Hasam Sahadi Lurikase. There in Rabbi Abba's case, the witness is coming against the defendant, because if a second witness had corroborated the testimony, he would have to return the naska. Hachal Suyuye Kase. Here, however, the witness is coming to support the machzik by testifying he has a chazaka, because had another witness come with him, we would establish the property in the machzik's possession. Although he cannot keep the property lacking a second witness, this single witness does not obligate him to swear about the produce. And point number three, two people argued over ownership of a boat in no one's possession, in which case Rav Nachman later rules Kol Dalim Gvar, Basin withdraws, and whoever is stronger wins. One litigant asked Basin to seize the boat while he seeks supporting aiding so the other party shouldn't sell it. Rav Huna said, Tafsinan, we seize the boat, and Rav Yudah said, Lo Tafsinan, we do not seize it. The Rashbam explains that this dispute hinges on the next. The litigant failed to find Adim and asked Basin, Afkua b'kol dam gvar, release the boat, and the law will again be whoever stronger wins. Rav Yehuda said, Lo mafkinam, we do not release it because once it is in Basin's possession, they cannot release it into a circumstance where the fraudulent claimant might prevail. Therefore, Rav Yehuda said, Basin may not seize it initially because it prevents the true owner from retrieving it through kol dam gvar. Rav Papa said, Mafkinam, we release it because their original seizure was with the intent to release it afterwards. Rav Huna agrees and therefore holds based and may seize it initially, since the seizure will not harm the true owner. The halacha follows Rav Yehuda on both accounts. All right, so now it's time to go to our siman daf lamed dalet, and our standard siman is a ladder. A ladder, so here goes. When a single witness testified that a man had grabbed a silver ladder, and he said, I admit that I grabbed it, but it was mine all along. A rabbi watching said, this is not the same as a single witness helping a man claiming a chazakah of 3 years. While Basin on the dock refused to seize a disputed boat with rope ladders all over it, because they didn't want to have to release it to a contest of kol dalim gvar. Once again, in slow motion. When a single witness testified that a man had grabbed a silver ladder, that must be warned off lamed dalet. When a single witness testified that a man had grabbed a silver ladder, and he said, I admit that I grabbed it, but it was mine all along, which reminds us, a man grabbed a silver bar from someone, and the case came before Rabbi Ami. One aide testified to the grabbing, and the defendant responded, yes, I grabbed it, but I grabbed that which is mine. Rabbi Ami wondered how to rule, and the Gemara proceeds to present all of his considerations. So when a single witness testified that a man had grabbed a silver ladder, and he said, I admit that I grabbed it, but it was mine all along, a rabbi watching said, this is not the same as a single witness helping a man claiming a chazakah of 3 years, which reminds us on the previous daf, this ruling was used by the sages before Abaya to rule on another case where a machzik attempting to prove his chazakah only produced a single witness testifying that he used the property for 3 years. Since he had to return the property having failed to bring two witnesses, he should also have to pay for the produce, since a single witness testified that he consumed it and he admitted that he did, but merely claimed it was his. Abaya explained that this case is different. So when a single witness testified that a man had grabbed a silver ladder and he said, I admit that I grabbed it, but it was mine all along, a rabbi watching said, this is not the same as a single witness helping a man claiming a chazakah of 3 years. While Basin on the dock refused to seize the disputed boat with rope ladders all over it because they didn't want to have to release it to a contest of kol dalim gvar, which reminds us, two people argued over ownership of a boat in no one's possession, in which case Rav Nachman later rules kol dalim gvar, Basin withdraws, and whoever's stronger wins. One litigant asked Basin to seize the boat while he seeks supporting witnesses, so the other party should not sell it. Rav Huna said, Tafsina, we seize the boat, and Rav Yehuda said, Lo Tafsina, we do not seize it. Rav Yehuda said, Basin may not seize it initially because it prevents the true owner from retrieving it through kol dalim gvar. So once again, when a single witness testified that a man had grabbed a silver ladder, and he said, I admit that I grabbed it, but it was mine all along, a rabbi watching said, this is not the same as a single witness helping a man claiming a chazakah of 3 years. While Basin on the dock refused to seize a disputed boat with rope ladders all over it because they didn't want to have to release it to a contest of kol dalim gvar. All right, so now it's time for four Baba Chazara. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Molamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe. That must be on Daf Lamed. Molamed. The Rebbe took his class on a Cheskos Abatim field trip and passed an owner of some land who was so preoccupied in his business for 30 days that he was unaware that someone was occupying his property, which reminds us, Rebbe ruled Avin Ish Dekot Chas Nyomi Tar V'Shukah, a person often is preoccupied with the market for a full 30 days, and his claim is credible that the entire 30 days he was preoccupied and never discovered the person's occupancy on his land. So the Rebbe took his class on a Cheskos Abatim field trip and passed an owner of some land who was so preoccupied in his business for 30 days that he was unaware that someone was occupying his property, pointed out to his Talmidim that the man telling an owner, I purchased the land from someone who said he purchased it from you, wouldn't be successful in his claim, which reminds us, someone challenged a person occupying a property which was formerly his, and the occupant said, I purchased it from Pony who told me he purchased it from you. The former owner replied, do you not admit this land was once mine and you didn't purchase it from me, nor could you claim to have done so since you have no shtar or chazaka to support that claim. Go out of the property, you're not my litigant. Rava ruled that the original owner is correct. So the Rebbe took his class on a Cheskos Abatim field trip and passed an owner of some land who was so preoccupied in his business for 30 days that he was unaware that someone was occupying his property. Pointed out to his Talmidim that the man telling an owner, I purchased the land from someone who said he purchased it from you, wouldn't be successful in his claim. While property owner who said in front of witnesses that Pony should buy the land that someone else supposedly bought from him was tricking the man so he could easily retrieve it from him, which reminds us, Gamora brings the case of a former owner encouraging a fraudulent purchase because it would be easier to collect it from the current occupant instead of from the person who stole his property. Daf Lamedov, so the Simmer Daf Lamedov relates to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge, that must mean we're on Daf Lamedov, the law. The judge had a tough day when a man who lived on a field for 3 years said he inherited it and tried to use a mali u'shaker that he could have said he bought it, which reminds us, two people disputed the ownership of a property, each one claiming she'alavosa, it was my forefather's property. Aiden testified that it belonged to one party's fathers. Another Aiden testified the other party had used the land for 3 years of a chazaka. Rabbah ruled, mali u'shaker, what gain is there for the occupant to lie? If he had wanted to, he could have told the other litigant, I bought it from you and use it for the 3 years of a chazaka. Since he could have retained the property with this false claim, he's believed to say that it was his father's. Abai said to Rabbah, mali u'shaker b'makam Aiden lo amrinan. We do not say to believe a litigant based on the argument of what gain is there for me to lie in the place of Adim contradicting his claim because it's known to be false. So the judge had a tough day when a man who lived on a field for 3 years said he inherited it and tried to use a mali u'shaker that he could have said he bought it. And then he switched to his claim to say it's true it was your father's, but I bought it from him, which reminds us, if the argument then told the other, yes, it's true that the land once belonged to your fathers, but I purchased it from them, and this that I told you was my father's, I meant that I was confident about its ownership as if it was my father's, not that they literally owned it. With this new claim, his chazaka would award him the property. One may make a claim and change and make another claim to reinterpret his original statement against its apparent meaning, but the Nardin said he cannot. So the judge had a tough day when a man who lived on a field for 3 years said he inherited it and tried to use a mali u'shaker that he could have said he bought it. And then he switched his claim to say, it's true, it was your father's, but I bought it from him. And then had a rule of contradicting witnesses who disqualify themselves only for the contradicted testimony or for the entire edus, which reminds us there's a malchukas with edus mucheshes, contradictory testimony, whether the edim are disqualified only for the contradicted part or for the entire edus. Daf Lamed Beis. So the symbol for Daf Lamed Beis is a lab. So here goes. The scientist in the lab, that must be more on Daf Lamed Beis. The scientist in the lab studying the emotional impact on the Kohen, who was demoted to Chal status and then reinstated based on Eidachot, and then demoted again and then reinstated, which reminds us in a Mishnah Tanaim argue Malin Kahuna Opi Eidachot. We raise someone to the Kahuna based on one witness's testimony, but two Tanaim appear to rule identically that we do. The Gemara explains that they argue where someone was reputed as a Kohen, but a rumor emerged that he was a Chalal. After he was demoted from Kahuna, a witness testified that he was a valid Kohen, and he was reinstated. Later, two witnesses testified he was a Chalal, and he was again demoted. Finally, one more witness testified he was a valid Kohen. Rav Ashi explains that all Tanaim are unconcerned about Zilus de Beidina for reinstating him, but argue about Litzar of Edus combining testimonies of two witnesses who testified separately. So the scientist in the lab studying the emotional impact on a Kohen, who was demoted to Chala status and then reinstated based on Eidachot, and then demoted again and then reinstated, who tested if Edus can be combined with one aid testifying one day and the second aid the next day, which reminds us in a brisa that the Tanakhama says, Lom ein Edus mitzarefes ad shiyu shnein ke'echot. Witnesses' testimony can never be combined unless they both see the event together, meaning the same event. But if one testifies to seeing a loan and the other testifies that the borrower admitted owing money to the lender, their testimony cannot be combined. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says, Afil bezeh chazeh, their testimony is combined even if they testify about separate events, one after the other. So the scientist in the lab studying the emotional impact on a Kohen who was demoted to Chal status and then reinstated based on Eidachot and then demoted again and then reinstated, who tested if Eidus can be combined with one Eid testifying one day and the second Eid the next day, were surprised when an occupant of some land who presented a shtar to its former owner whispered to one of the scientists that in fact it was a forged shtar, but originally he had a legitimate shtar, but lost it, which reminds us, an occupant of land was challenged by its former owner and responded, I bought it from you, and here is the shtar of the sale. The first owner protested, it's a forged shtar. The occupant leaned over to rubber the judge and whispered, yes, it's a forged shtar. However, I originally had a legitimate shtar, but lost it, so I thought, I'll take this false shtar in my hand to have something to support my claim. Rubber ruled, Malo Lashaker, why would he lie? Had he insisted that the shtar he held was valid, he would have been believed. Therefore, he's believed that he initially had a valid shtar and lost it. Rav Yosef disagreed since Rebbe was basing his ruling on a worthless star. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the symbol of Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate? That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate, who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon, belonging to Yosomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect An additional debt, which reminds us, Rabbi Rosharshan possessed a mashkon, which entitled him to its produce for a number of years to collect the debt. After the borrower died, a rumor emerged that the mashkon's term was over, yet he continued using the orphan's mashkon. He explained to Abaye that the father owed him an additional debt, and he realized that if he would return the mashkon, he would have to swear to collect the second debt like any collection from Yosomim. To avoid the shvu, he decided to hide the shtar in the mashkon and consume its produce until his debt was paid. Demiku debeina, for since if I had wanted to lie, I could say I bought the land from their father and it would be believed since I used the property for enough years to establish a chazaka. So the peg-leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon belonging to Yosomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, was shocked when one of the pirates admitted a palm tree he had claimed was his inheritance was actually not his, but wouldn't pay for the fruits he ate. Which reminds us, the more discusses if someone took control of property claiming to be a closer relative and later admitted that it wasn't his, does he have to pay the rightful owner the produce that he consumed? So the peg-leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon belonging to Yosomim, after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, was shocked when one of the pirates admitted a palm tree he had claimed was his inheritance was actually not his, but wouldn't pay for the fruits he ate. And a third pirate lost his loot paying for fruits he ate when witnesses testified he was only there for 2 years, and he wasn't clever enough to say, I purchased the rights of the fruits, not the land, which reminds us. An occupant brought witnesses to establish a chazaka, but they only testified that he ate the land's produce for 2 years. Rav Nachman ruled, Hadra Arav, Hadre Peri. The land returns to the former owner, and the produce also returns. Since the chazaka was not established, and we assume the land still belongs to its former owner, it emerges that the occupant consumed 2 years of produce, which was not his. Lazvid said that if the occupant would have claimed, Leperos Yeradati, I went down to the field to consume its produce because I was entitled to it because he purchased it, he is believed, since a person is not so brazen as to harvest the palm, which isn't his. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step through the case of a kohen who was demoted to a chalal status, then reinstated by Eid Echad, then demoted, and then reinstated again by an Eid Echad? That's on Daf Lamed Beis. Good. Number 2. Which dafi machos, if someone admitted property wasn't his, whether he must pay the original owner for consuming the produce? That's on Daf Amad Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which dafi when that a chazaka property is established by using it unchallenged for 3 years from day to day? That's on Daf Chavches. Good. Number 4. Which dafi of a question of basin seizes a disputed boat? That's on Daf Lamed Daled. Good. Number 5. Which stuff to discuss what the din is in a case where the former owner says that he was in one of the inner rooms in the house during the 3 years? That's on Daf Chavtes. Good. Number 6. Which stuff to the case of one leveraging a mashkon to collect another debt with a migu that he could have said that he bought the field? That's on Daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff to the case where one admitted he did not inherit the land, but said he meant that he was confident it was his as if he inherited it? That's on Daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we compare the case of grabbing the silver bar to a case of a single A testifying about 3 years of a chazaka? That's on Daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we discuss whether we can combine witnesses who witnessed separate events or testified separately? That's on Daf Lamed Beis. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we the case of one A testifying that a man grabbed a silver bar and the man admitted he grabbed it but claimed it was his? That's on Daf Lamed Daled. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Rumgold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.